You're listening to the best of Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. To hear the current weekly multiple listing update, go to RadioRealEstate.com or call 898-4242, 898-4242.
We did catch most of the show today, and, it was good. I didn't think it was really fabulous. I kind of think the problem is that you're more interesting than most of the guests, you know.
To start, I did want to address an issue with the help of someone. The issue, a couple of things, a little historical, dating back to a 1932 Fiesta, and also a problem, the homeless problem in Santa Barbara. How long has it been around? How long has the term homeless been around? Has anyone really taken the time to talk to a homeless person? Well, we're going to talk to, and we're stretching this a little bit, we're going to talk to perhaps one of the early homeless people in Santa Barbara back in 1932. My Uncle Sid and my Uncle Joe hitchhiked to California from Brooklyn, New York. And they spent time up and down the coast, had a lot of stories. My older Uncle Joe, who unfortunately recently died, was arrested for having my poor, his kid brother Uncle Sid, Fat Sid, for 40 days out in the desert in Palm Springs. Good morning and welcome, Uncle Sid.
Good morning, Mark.
How did I do with that introduction? Was that accurate?
Well, you were slightly wrong. First of all, the fast was 42 days, and Joe avoided being arrested by promising the Riverside County medical official that if I continued the fast, he would be held for murder. So fortunately, he wasn't arrested, Mark. So we'll get a couple of those things straightened out. And that was in just north of Palm Springs in the desert there.
In Takis Canyon, I believe.
That's right, Takis Canyon, back in 1932-33.
I eventually hitchhiked myself from Mount Vernon, New York, to California, and hitchhiked to Takis Canyon and fasted up in the canyon in honor of you for about 3 days.
Okay, well, 3 days is better than nothing, but I've got wonderful results from it. I think it added to my longevity. I'm 89. I'll be 90, if the Lord be willing, in August. I'm looking forward to that date. It'll be a landmark for me.
August, again, around the anniversary of the Fiesta Parade. What right. Date is your birthday?
19. August 19.
August 19? God, what are the odds of that? I think I got in your journal, or your brother's journal, my uncle, I think the Fiesta started in 1932, looks like August 18th.
It could very well be. So, I don't remember the exact date myself. I wasn't in it. My brother Joe was, and a friend of ours that we met on the road hitchhiking out here. But I was in civilian clothes, and they didn't have anything for a 17-year-old boy, so I was out of that one.
Yeah,
I wish I hadn't participated. However, if I may, I would like to say that Santa Barbara, to my brother and I and some friends that we met down there, valued our stay a couple of months or more on the beach as homeless people sleeping on the beach. And the beautiful area that Santa Barbara was then and I'm sure is now as well. So we have fond memories of Santa Barbara, a wonderful city.
So you were up and down the coast for quite a bit of time. You think Santa Barbara was your favorite?
Yes, we were up as far north as San Francisco, San Jose, and Santa Monica, Long Beach, et cetera, et cetera. But none of them compared to Santa Barbara.
Now, 1932, I'm looking at pictures of your older brother, my Uncle Joe. He's 21, you're 17. He's dressed like either Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett. He was in the 1932 Fiesta Parade.
Right.
And you were dressed with the attire that you tell me that you generally dressed. Dress pants, a sports jacket, a sweater, a tie, a white shirt, and a hat. You don't look like a homeless person.
Well, that was the best clothing we had when we started hitchhiking from Brooklyn. We didn't want to look like bums, per se, you know, in dirty clothes and such. So we didn't have too much trouble because of our youth, number one, and because of our attire in getting rides, starting off from the Holland Tunnel all the way to Long Beach is where I wound up. And Brother Joe, too, he was a few days behind me. I got a ride. He didn't. We couldn't get together, so he followed me. Within 4 or 5 days, he met up with me in Long Beach. Well, that was the reason we were in those clothes, you know.
Well, you came, you know, I mean, you came from a, you know, your dad at one point in time prior to the crash was quite successful. I wouldn't say you guys were, you know, well-to-do, but he was kind of well-heeled, right? He came from a well-to-do parents or his mom, and
yeah.
At one point in time, he was doing kind of well until the crash kind of hit him hard, the ponies hit him hard.
Oh, yes, well, the crash primarily, he had two mortgages on the house, and we were evicted. He couldn't pay it, of course, and the family was evicted. While Joe and I were in California, we discovered that they were evicted and having trouble getting housing, which they eventually did, however. Don't forget, we came from a family of nine, including myself and Joe. 6 boys, 3 girls, my father and mother. So he had quite a problem trying to make ends meet then, and we were in California when we heard of their eviction, and we were more determined than ever to try to find some work, picking oranges or whatever we can do on the West Coast. And that was one of our primary reasons for leaving in the first place, to get some work, which was not available in New York. And
How many people would you say shared your experience or your journey? How many people were out there on the road or sleeping at the Salvation Army or living on the beach trying to get work?
I couldn't give you a number, but if anybody has the history of those days, 32, 33, 34, after the crash, there were thousands of hobos, real hobos, you know, riding with railroad trains and stuff like that, which we had to do too at times. When traffic was so little out west, we had to ride the freight trains, and we mingled with these hobos. And, we were too well-dressed. They thought they would rob us. We put ourselves in danger looking too affluent in the clothes we had. So it served one good purpose, getting us rides and so forth, but mingling with that hungry crowd wasn't too healthy for us.
Does the, I don't know if we'll have time to do this while you're on the air, but there was a whole history of the word hobo that I gave on the air called dating back from the Civil War, and I read something said it derived from homeward bound hobo. Then I've recently read some information contradicting that, and they have all kinds of other terms. But do you remember that term back then? Do you remember the term homeless? Did anyone?
No. We weren't called homeless. I don't ever remember that. Though we actually were in a way. But we always felt we had a home back home. Brooklyn, New York was our home. We weren't entirely, at least mentally, without a home if we ever got back there, which we did eventually. But people were homeless, and we slept in the Salvation Armies. If there wasn't one in town on the way over or throughout our drifting along the coast, we slept in jailhouses, you know, for the night. We were accommodated.
You mean you? That sounds like from the Andy Griffith Show, where the town drunk always got to spend the night. Really, that's unusual.
Well, yes. If there wasn't a Salvation Army or some other organization that would set you up with a bed and a shower and so forth, the last resort was the jails, because usually they were bug-ridden and not a pleasant place to be in.
We're talking with Uncle Sid. 89 years old. He'll be 90 this August, just around the time of Fiesta. And he was here in 1932. His brother, my uncle, was in the Fiesta Parade. We have a big problem with homeless today being a little, some being aggressive. Some people down in their luck through circumstances, not through choice, what you'd call a street person who's just choosing not to work. Choosing maybe to, it depends on what you argue, if it's a choice to be an alcoholic or a drug addict. But you know what I'm saying. And then there are the people who are down and out, and we have a lot of wonderful programs to assist people to get back on their feet, but a lot of aggressive panhandling and that kind of thing.
Well,
you don't remember that from those days, though.
No,
like you
if
say.
I may interrupt you, Mark, we didn't panhandle. We did go into stores asking for work, a bakery, or some other, a fruit store or whatever, for food. We told them we'd do it for food. Generally, they were very nice. We would get the food, and they didn't demand that we put in any labor to, you know, to provide ourselves with that handout. But there was no such things as drugs. We were anti-drug anyway. We were looking to get healthy, not sick. So there was no problem with drugs, and we didn't run into druggies or any of that thing that goes on today. I think it was worlds apart. We were safe. If anything, people might have feared us somewhat, but we had nothing to fear from anybody else. We seemed to be perfectly safe.
Well, you don't look very menacing in your suit and tie and top hat there.
No, I was far from it.
Far from it. You know what? I have another question or two for you. I have to take a commercial break. Can you hold on?
Sure.
I just want to finish up with Uncle Sid, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.